Welcome. Thank you for watching this teaching video from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. Please check out our other videos and don't forget to like and subscribe. Our mission is to help people come to know Jesus better and love Him more every day. We believe this will not only help our own spiritual growth, but also help us better influence the community and the world for Christ. For more information about Oak Tree, please visit us at oaktreechurch.com. There you'll find past message series, online giving options, and more information about our discipleship process that we call The Path. Now, enjoy this message. We'd love to hear from you in the comments or the website contact form. Thank you.
So, obviously, you guys are going to keep seeing it. This year is God's plan for the church. And we're going to keep going through, what are the three big questions this year? The three big questions this year are, what is we a church to be? What are we supposed to do? And how are we supposed to do it? And so right now, what we're doing is we're looking at, we have five big purposes in our life. Five things that we were created to do. We were created for worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and evangelism. And this week, we're going to be looking at ministry. And with ministry, there's a couple of questions we want to ask. First of all, what is ministry? Why is it important? How do we do it? So the big question is, what is ministry? And before we go into what ministry is, let's look at what ministry isn't. Because the problem is that a lot of people picture the word ministry. Ministry is this big thing. It's the leaders, the professionals. It's the pastors, the preachers, the elders. Maybe you have nuns, bishops, evangelists. It's the big people. A lot of people see ministry as this really big word, this really important thing. It can only be done by some professional, somebody who's trained, whose entire life is dedicated to serving. Or ministry is only those who share the gospel. It's only those who make a big impact for Christ. But those things are ministry, yes, but not all ministry are those things. Ministry is so much more than that small, narrow gap that people like to focus on. And the most important thing is ministry is not just limited to a few select people who have those gifts or talents. Ministry is something every single Christian can do, and more importantly, ministry is something that every single Christian should do. So what is it exactly? Serving God, plain and simple. It sounds simple, it should be simple, but we like to complicate simple things. Ministry is every single time that we use our gifts that we have been given to serve God, to glorify Him. It's where we take advantage of what He has given us, this time on the earth, our focus, our opportunities, and we choose what to do with our focus. We move the focus away from ourselves, away from our own behaviors, and we make it about others, and most importantly, about God. The other thing is, ministry is not just events. Ministry is every day. We like to focus on the big events. We like to focus on the people reaching thousands, the person traveling overseas to evangelize. But that's not all that ministry is. Ministry is the person who sweeps the front door, the floor in the church. Ministry is the person who reads the book one-on-one with a friend. Ministry is the person who gives $1 because that's all they can afford to give that time. Those are just a few small examples of ministry that we often overlook. Because we base our ministry on performance. We base it on public appearance. Those who are getting the most public attention, those who are being the most seen, the most visible. But again, ministry is about serving and glorifying God. There's so many more opportunities out there to serve God quietly than there ever are to serve God publicly. We get so caught up in the big, sometimes we forget. Ministry is about the little things. At its heart, ministry is 1,000 little opportunities where we have a choice where to put our focus, and we choose to go from focusing on ourselves to focusing on others and God. Ministry is important because it's essential to our lives. It's what we were created for. Again, these are our five purposes. Today, there's thousands of books out there that focus on you. getting the best out of your life, what you can get out of everything, how to help you be the best you, finding your true self. These are just a few examples. The whole point it boils down to, the world says life is about you. Life is about what you need to do, what you should focus on to make you feel right, to make you feel comfortable. The problem with this is it's completely false advertising. It's not based in anything biblical, and it's guaranteed to fail because it's the opposite of what we were designed for and what we need. There's a popular saying out there, we're here for a good time, not a... There you go. That's the saying. I'm sure you've heard it before. We're here for a good time, not a long time. What's the point of that saying? Well, when people say that saying, it's right before they do what? I want to do something fun, something stupid. Yep. Everyone says that, but it's I want to do something for me. That is all about me. It's all about I'm here for me. They claim that they have no purpose in life besides eat, drink, be merry. I'm here for me. And unfortunately, it's a very common thing because we like to serve ourselves. We like to follow our hearts. You may or may not know what the Bible says about the heart. The heart's deceitful above all else. The question is, if everyone's here to have a good time, if so many people across the world are being told to have a good time, and then going and having a good time, doing what feels right, doing what serves them, why are there billions of unhappy people in the world? Why is it that the people who have no rules, have no restrictions, have everything they could want, everything you're told that you should be aiming for? Why are those people usually the most unhappy, usually the ones who end up depressed or worse? And why do we say, focus on yourself, focus on yourself, and then you get so exhausted by focusing on yourself? The answer is, it's not an accident. I said it last week, Satan is in control of this world right now. He knows what we need. He knows what we were designed for. And he is very desperate to do everything in his power to keep us focused on anything and everything but God and our purpose in this life. By getting us to focus on ourselves, by getting us to try to do all these things for ourselves, he draws our attention away from our true purposes, our true focus, and away from the one who gave us this purpose. The fact is that we were created with a purpose, and that purpose is to serve. Ministry is essential in our lives. There are so many verses in the Bible that talk about what God created us for. A few of them is Ephesians 2:10, Romans 8:29, Ephesians 1:4. We can talk about those more later, and there's lots more. But they all boil down to one thing. Not only did God know us from before we were born, God designed us, he created us, and he made plans for our lives. He put us here for a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify him. And through ministry, we serve him and glorify him. A lot of people out there say, oh, we came about by chance. A lot of religions, we're here for the amusement of others. We're here for our own amusement. We're here for the amusement of God or gods. But guess what? That's not true. We're not random thoughts. We're not random designs. We were intentionally and purposefully created by God. He designed us with a purpose to serve. And not only did he give us this purpose, he gave us every single thing we need to fulfill that purpose. And when we manage to shift our focus away from ourselves, away from what we feel is right, and point it back to our Creator, only then can we start accomplishing our true purpose. Because when we do set our sights on God, it becomes a lot easier to focus on our purpose. And when we do what we were actually designed for, we get rid of happiness, which is a temporary, situational feeling, and we instead become filled with joy, with contentment, which is based within, and it's based on our Creator who is with us. And most importantly, ministry comes with discipleship. It comes out of growing up. Last week, we looked at discipleship, and that's another purpose of our life. Discipleship is when we grow up, as I said last week, we become more like our Father. We choose to mature. It's when we look at the path that we find in 2 Peter and decide, I am going to make every effort. I am going to add to my faith. I am no longer content with just faith. I am no longer content with being a baby. I want to grow up. I want to commit to that growth. I'm going to obey a little more every day. And guess what? Every Christian should grow up. Every Christian should commit, should grow a little bit day by day, so that we come to, as we say around here, know him better and love him more. But what are we doing for that? What's the point of our growth? What's the point of our discipleship? It's so that we glorify God. In everything you say and do, do all to the glory of God. That's what ministry is. Ministry is serving God, and it's directly proportional to our growth, to our discipleship. The more we grow, the more we know him, the more we love him and obey him. And guess what? It's easier to obey him when you know what he wants you to obey. It's easier to follow him when you know where he wants you to go. If we grow our whole lives, if we master discipleship perfectly, if we follow every step and we grow and are really, really good Christians, but then we don't do anything with that, what's the point? It's like if somebody went to college their entire life. They complete one course after another after another. They can ace every test. They have every little bit of knowledge that is out there for them to find. And they don't do anything else their entire lives. They just keep going to classes. They keep going to classes. Next class, next class. Yeah, they might be the smartest person in the world. But when we look at that person, would we say they did something with their lives? Or would we say they wasted it by just learning, learning, and learning and never actually doing anything? They never helped one other person. They never learned one new thing for the world. They never even got a job. They just learned. That's what discipleship without ministry is. We learn, we learn, we learn. We spend all of our time focusing. And then God's like, okay, time to apply that. Now I want to keep learning. Great, you learned this. Now apply it in your life. Now I'm going to learn something else now. Discipleship without ministry is kind of like what we see in James chapter 2, faith without works. And what is faith without works? Faith without works is dead. It's useless. It has no benefit. It's not that you don't have the faith. It's not that you don't have the discipleship. But what are you doing with that? On the opposite side of it, what happens when you do take that discipleship? When you do take what you've learned, what you've spent your life growing up in, coming to know him better, to love him more, saying, now I'm going to do the practical side, then you get to see the fruit, you get to see the growth, and you get to actually find purpose in this life. Ministry can be done at any point in our life, any point in our walk. You can do ministry at the very beginning when all you have is faith and nothing else. And you can do ministry all the way at the end when you've walked the path your entire life. But the further along you are in the path, the more impactful your ministry is, the more you're able to do, the more you know to do. Because the more you know the Father, the more you know what you should be doing. At the beginning, ministry is something you have to do, something you're trying to do. But as we get past the growth, get into brotherly affection and unselfish love, ministry becomes more who you are, more what you are going to do. Not because you have to, not because, well, it's a purpose, but because that's who you have grown to be. That's who you have come to be in the Father. And that's when our ministry becomes impactful. So what does ministry actually look like? Well, I already mentioned that God created us with a purpose, but he didn't just give us a purpose. He created us with a design. He didn't just say, well, here's what I want you to do. Good luck. Figure it out on your own. No. He said, here's what I want you to do. And here's what I'm going to do for you. Here's how I'm going to design you. Here's what I'm going to give you so that you have everything you need to accomplish your purpose. We've been talking about this a lot in different second hour discussions, and one thing we come back to is shape. So what is shape? Well, a couple years ago, we went through and learned about purpose-driven life. What is our shape? And we said that here's what shape is. Shape is spiritual gifts, our heart, our abilities, our personality, and our experiences. You take all these things together, and it forms your shape. One of the most important things we looked at when we were learning about shape was that there is no one perfect role. There is no, I only have one place I can serve. If I'm serving in anywhere else, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be. That's not it. We're not limited to one thing. And this is where a lot of people tend to struggle with ministry. They want to plug in, they want to serve, but they're waiting for that perfect role, that perfect opportunity that's exactly what I was designed for. And because they're waiting, they don't plug in. They don't do ministry because they don't think they're in the right spot yet. And the other side of this is that certain people look at tasks and say, well, I want to do that task, but certain person over here is so much better at it, which means they're the only one who should be doing that. And so they don't help with the ministry because somebody else is better at it. The problem with both of these thinkings is it's not biblical. It's not based in fact. It limits us and it limits God. It says, I can't do anything, and God, you can't use me until I find the only one thing that I was designed for. Is God really so limited by us that he can't use us until we find one perfect role in our lives? No. So what does shape actually show us? Shape actually shows that when we look at these things, our gifts, our heart, our abilities, our passions, and our experience, there's a whole lot of leeway in there for us to find things that line up with that. There's a whole lot of places that fit into our shape that allow us to serve. So why are we serving? We were designed to serve in the body. Remember, we have one body, but many members. At the beginning of this year, we looked at different examples, different ways to view the church. And one of the most common in the New Testament is Christ is the head and we are the body. And what did we see in this example? Well, a body is one whole being that is made up of many individual members. And even though some of these members seem more important, the head, the heart, the body can't function properly without all of its members. Yeah, you might be able to do something if you're missing a member. If a member's not functioning right, you might be able to drag by. But when we have doctors look at us, they don't go, you can do without that. No, let's fix that. Let's get it back up for the benefit of the whole body. And sometimes, even the littlest parts of the body, the bones that you don't know the names of, the muscles and veins that we can't figure out, I don't know the names of everything like that, but I know when it's not working right. What did TJ just pray about earlier? And that's what it is with the body of Christ. Even the little jobs, the little ministries, the ones we don't notice, we notice when they're not being done, even though we don't know who's doing it. And guess what? Every part of the body is different. Every part of the body is unique. So with the body, so is the body of Christ. The most important place we see this in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 12. And in 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 14, it says, "For in fact, the body is not a single member, but many. For if the foot says, 'Since I am not a hand, I am not part of the body,' it does not lose its membership of the body because of that. And if the ear says, 'Since I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it does not lose its membership in the body because of that. If the whole body were an eye, what part would do the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, what part would exercise the sense of smell? But as a matter of fact, God has placed each of the members in the body just as he decided. If they were all the same member, where would the body be? So now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I do not need you,' nor in turn can the head say to the foot, 'I do not need you.' On the contrary, those members that seem to be weaker are essential, and those members we consider less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our unpresentable members are clothed with dignity. But our presentable members do not need this. Instead, God has blended together the body, giving greater honor to the lesser members, so that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have mutual concern for one another. If one member suffers, everyone suffers with it. If a member is honored, all rejoice with it." When we stop performing our purpose, when we stop focusing on what we're designed to do, because, well, I'm not an eye, I'm not a head, and I want to be, not only do we harm ourselves by taking away from our purpose, our shape, but we harm the entire body. In order for the body to function, it requires a vast and diverse collection of members, each of whom perform different yet equally essential functions that keep the body functioning as intended. And when we stop looking at what roles seem better, cooler, more important, bigger, whatever you want to call it, start looking for what roles we were shaped for, then we start doing real ministry, real service, because we will be serving what we were designed for, what we were intended for, not what we think. We just saw each member was placed as who decided? The person who was the best talker? No, each member was placed as God decided. God intended roles for us. He gave us these roles. And again, he gave us the gifts for it. The first thing about how we're designed is that we have been given help when it comes to serving. God had given each of us a spiritual gift. And I do say each of us. God did not forget any one of his children when he gave gifts. In 1 Corinthians 2, we see, starting in verse 4, "Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different results, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each person, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the benefit of all. For one person is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, and another the message of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, performance of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. It is one and the same Spirit, distributing as he decides to each person who produces all these things." Maybe he's trying to highlight here, same Spirit, same Spirit, same Spirit. We see it a lot more simply in 1 Peter 4:10. "Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the varied grace of God." And then finally, all the way back in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 8, it says, "For just as in one body we have many members, and not all the members serve the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members who belong to one another. And we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If the gift is prophecy, that individual must use it in proportion to his faith. If it is service, he must serve. If it is teaching, he must teach. If it is exhortation, he must exhort. If it is contributing, he must do so with sincerity. If it is leadership, he must do so with diligence. If it is showing mercy, he must do so with cheerfulness." Again, what are all three of these things saying here? If you have a gift, use it. Use it well, use it happily. But don't forget, we are one Spirit. We are of one Spirit. We are of one body. We are different, but in the same. We are connected to one another. And guess what? These are only a few of the verses in the Bible about spiritual gifts. God has given us these gifts so that we may serve together to the one Spirit. But God didn't only give us spiritual gifts. He gave each and every one of us our own heart and ability, our own passions and desires. These are things that we enjoy, things that we're naturally drawn to. And these can be anything. It's not set and focused in the same way that spiritual gifts are. Different people with the same gifts might have a different heart, might have different passions, might have different things that they want to do. And we might have things that we never want to do. Well, I never want to do that thing. I never want to serve in there. And guess what? That's okay. We're not all an eye. We're not all a foot. We're not all a head. We're not all an arm. We can have different things we want to do. We have to take a look inside. We have to look at our lives, figure out what our heart is, what our passions are, what we enjoy doing. Because when we do things that we enjoy doing, it's a lot easier. Can't say it doesn't feel like work, because yes, even when you enjoy something, it's still work sometimes. But it's a lot easier to do something you enjoy than to force yourself into a place you don't enjoy. And that's a natural part of our shape. Guess what? Another part of our shape is our personalities and our life experience. And this is where we're truly and uniquely designed. Because every single one of us has a unique personality, an individual personality, and individual life experiences. No matter how similar it might look, or even if we've lived through the same events, they shape all of us individually. There are no two people throughout all of history who can say they have the exact same 100% life experience as anyone else. And that's what makes it unique for us. But that's what also makes all of our own shapes unique, is our life experiences. And guess what? Each of us is also in a different situation in our life currently. Someone might be at a point in their life where they have lots of material wealth. They can go travel. They can do things. They can give more than everyone else. Someone might be at a point in their life where they don't have anything, but they can show up with a can-do attitude. Neither one of these things is better or worse than the other. That's part of what makes our life experiences different and makes us unique. And the cool thing about shape is that it's not locked into one place. It's not, uh-oh, you said that you're going to be singing, so now you're stuck singing for the rest of your life. You're going to be up here doing whatever your ministry is, so now you can't do anything else for the rest of your life. Your shape changes as your life experience changes. Your shape changes as your available changes. We get to change how we serve. We just don't get to change who we serve. As long as you are still serving God, even if how it looks changes, who it's for doesn't. And when we combine all five of these things in our shape, our gifts, our heart, our abilities, personality, experience, then we find our current shape. And we can look for things we enjoy that do use our gifts, that do use our personal experiences and our life situation, and serve in whatever way you can, to the best of your ability. Because as we grow in our life changes, as we mature in our discipleship, what we're serving in might actually not be what you're supposed to be serving in at that time. And it's not wrong to feel like we need to change how we're serving. It's not wrong to say you no longer enjoy, you feel burnt out by your current service. And it's not wrong to look at a different kind of ministry and go, I want to do that. I want to be serving there. As long as you live and grow, it can change. It just matters that as it changes, you're still serving faithfully. You still have that heart for ministry. You still remember why you're doing it. You make sure that you're serving out of a desire to serve God, not to make yourself look better. Make sure that you're serving in an area that's part of your shape, not in an area that makes you seem more important. And make sure that you are changing. You're staying in the areas that fit your shape. Because when we serve in an area that's outside of our shape, not only are you harming yourself, but you're taking away from an area that somebody else might be better suited to serve. Because you have been serving in that area so long, even though you don't want to do it anymore, well, I have to do it. Well, you're not letting someone else in who might be their shape now. So you're depriving your abilities from the body, and you're depriving somebody else's abilities from the body at the same time. This takes prayer. This takes constant communication with God. This takes discipleship. This takes fellowship, having other people be like, you know what? That doesn't seem like where you should be right now. You need to serve where you have to serve, not just somebody has to do it. That's not serving, that's work. Ministry and service is not a one-size-fits-all. It's not everybody does the same thing. Everybody can do the same thing. Everybody should do the same thing. Certain people definitely should not be doing certain things. But at the same time, ministry is not a small, narrow hole. It's not, I have to squeeze my life to where I can fit this one keyhole because I cannot do anything else with my life. God is so much bigger than the little things in our life. He's not limited by us, and he didn't design us to be limited to one thing. God chose us, he designed us, and he gave us free will. And he expects us as intelligent beings to use that free will to follow him. And he's not waiting for us to find one little perfect role. He's just waiting for you to find the desire. And when you find that desire, he has the opportunities ready. He has the plans ready. He has your gifts ready. You just have to have the desire to serve. As I was studying this, I came across a really good quote. It said, "We are human beings, not human doings. We were designed to be in God, not to do things for him. We're not robots. We do have the ability to choose, to look, to think, and say, you know what? Here's where I need to be. Here's where I need to serve. Not, I have to do this one task for the rest of my life because that's the first place I started doing it. We are expected to use our intelligence, use our will to choose, like I said earlier, every day, choose to serve. Whether a little thing, a big thing, doesn't matter. It's our choices that allow us to obey him, not just our actions. Ministry is very important because it's one of the five purposes of our life. We were not just put on this earth to eat, drink, and be merry. We were placed here with a purpose, and that purpose is to serve God. Because if it was just about being in a right relationship with God, then why don't we all go to heaven the moment we're saved? If our purpose in this life is just to get back to God after sin, well, I accepted Jesus, I'm a Christian, I'm back in a right relationship, I have no other purpose on life now, that was it. That's not true. Our purpose is not just to be in a right relationship. It's to serve. We still have a purpose now. We need to fulfill that purpose. And most importantly, ministry is not for a select few people. Ministry is for every single child of God. Every one of us is his children. Every one of us has his purpose to serve. It's not limited to special roles. It's not limited to teaching, to leadership, to evangelism. It's something we've all been shaped for, and we've all been given opportunities to do. And it's up to each and every one of us as individuals to do our ministry, to serve God, to glorify him through our lives, and to build up the body of Christ. Because our ministry does not just affect us. It affects the entire body. Many members, but one body. When we refuse to work the way we were intended, we harm those around us. We harm the global church. We harm the local church. We harm our communities. But when we work together the way God designed us, using his unique gifts and talents that he gave us, we can work together and serve him, and we can help others work together and serve him the way we were all designed. So what's my challenge for today? It's three things, really. The first is simply consider your purpose. Are you currently serving in some way? If not, you need to look for where you can serve. Start today. Don't wait until you're all the way along on the path and then you're ready to serve. Don't wait until you have everything figured out. Start today. Doesn't matter if it's a big public thing, a small little thing that no one notices. Because guess what? God notices. God sees. And he wants each and every one of us to serve. And he designed us to serve. And guess what? Because God wants us to serve, if you're willing to serve, he will give you an opportunity. None of us can say, oh, I can't find an opportunity. God wants you to. He will give you the opportunity if you look for it. My next challenge is to figure out your shape. God has given every one of us a spiritual gift. He did not leave any one of his children out. If you're not sure what your gift is, start trying. Start looking today. First of all, pray. Pray to the one who gave you the gift. Read the Bible where he gives you his explanation. Work with others. Fellowship, discipleship. Work with those who are further along with the path than you, who know you, who can help bring out your gift. But the most important thing is to try something. Try. Look for something new. You'll never find your gift. You'll never find your shape if you're not trying to. And then once you figure out your shape, use your gift well. Within your desires, within your experiences, find the best spot. Maybe not the perfect spot, but find the best spot and start serving. Because when you work within your shape, you accomplish so much more than when you're just doing something because you have to. Finally, remember who you have to answer to. Every single one of us will stand before God someday and give an account for all the choices we made. And if God said that we are supposed to be serving, we are supposed to be doing ministry, and we don't, when we stand before him, we won't be able to use any excuses. I didn't have opportunities. I gave you opportunities. I didn't have a gift. I gave you a gift. I gave you everything. The only thing I was waiting on was for you to do it. But we need to remember, service is not out of fear, but out of joy. What do I mean by that? Like I just said, one day we'll stand before God. But guess what? If you have served him faithfully, if you have served him willingly, God says you'll be rewarded for your service. He has crowns, he has rewards waiting for you. And the most important reward he has is to look you in the face and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I can't think of any higher praise. I can't think of anything worth aiming for more than to stand before the creator of the universe and have him tell you personally, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You did well." I can't think of anything worth striving for more.